Hello there again, church family. We are continuing our adult Sunday school class as we take a look at the attributes of God. And today we're going to continue on looking at God's holiness as the second part, as we're giving it to you via the internet so that we can continue to keep sharpening ourselves and understanding a little bit more about the Lord, even though we're not able to physically meet. Before we actually do take a look at the subject matter for today, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Again, gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, as we consider who you are and the fact that you desire for us to know you as the one true God, to know that you are above all things, yet you have stepped down through your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal yourself for us to know who you are. And you've sent the way in which we can have a personal relationship with you to overcome the very serious boundary that exists for us to be holy as you are holy. And as we continue on this study, I ask that this would just be a blessing to each and every one that listens. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so far we've taken a look at the holiness of God, and we have acknowledged the fact that there is a definite biblical emphasis on the holiness of God because it is the only attribute that is repeated three times, that God is holy, holy, holy. And we have looked previously at Isaiah's encounter with the Holy One. And we've also last time taken a look at Moses and his encounter with God and God's holiness. And today we want to continue on by actually starting to actually define and see what the nature of holiness is. Because once we begin to understand that and grasp that, from a biblical perspective, to understand it as in light of who God is and who we are, is going to better help us appreciate what we have through Jesus Christ. And so as we look at holiness and define that as a term, the one thing that we got to begin with is to understand the fact that holiness is not being good or better than someone else. This is actually what man would look at holiness and try and define it as. Some of the way in which he perceives holiness. And so it's very important for us to understand it from a biblical perspective and not just from what man perceives, because when we speak about God being holy, we're not just saying that he is good or that he's better than the rest of us, because it goes so much more beyond that. Because as the scriptures reveal, this is not the type of holiness that pertains to God himself. Now, as we take a look in the Old Testament, the typical Hebrew word for holy is kodash, which has a root of quad, and it actually literally means to cut or to separate. And so as we take a look at the holiness of God, we're saying that he is separate, that he is apart from everything that we would see and what we would understand. In the New Testament, as we look at the word holy, we will see the word agiazo, which is the Greek equivalent of that Hebrew word as well. You know, as we think and consider holiness and it being defined in those terms, a psalm comes to mind, Psalm 77, verse 13, where it says, "Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God?" And I think everyone knows the answer to that question. Who is like our God? No one. Who is great like our God? No one. And so as we think about God and his way and the fact that he is not like any other being, because he is one, not created, he has always been, he has no beginning, no end, he is eternal, that he is definitely different. And as we take a look and consider his holiness, we need to understand too that he is wholly other. He is different than what we are used to. I like what R.C. Sproul said in his book. He says, "When the Bible calls God holy, it means primarily that God is transcendently separate. He is so far beyond or above and beyond us that he seems almost totally foreign to us." Now, I know that might seem a little bit on the extreme side, but the thing is, we need to understand in relation to God's holiness is that he is beyond the ordinary. He is beyond what we would consider common in relation to how man would define holiness. Matter of fact, he used the word transcendently. We could actually say that God's holiness is supernatural. It is beyond everything that we would know from a human perspective, and definitely is in need of us understanding a little bit more. Which brings us to the nature of holiness. And we're going to take a look at two aspects in our short video today. One, in relation to the nature of holiness, is its extent. The first thing we need to take a look at is the fact that God is absolutely distinct from us. He is God, and there is no one like him. We go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and it says there, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And so we have this whole separation where God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. Well, darkness is associated and seen in scriptural understanding as everything that pertains to sin, everything that pertains to rebellion against God. And so if God is light and in him is no darkness at all, we start to see that separation, that God is distinct from us because we are in darkness. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are a slave to the prince of the power of the air, and his kingdom is seen as that which is full of darkness, full of rebellion against God. And so not only is he distinct, but he's absolutely distinct because he is light and there is no darkness at all. So God is not tainted in any way. He is not lacking. He is not growing in his holiness because he is holy. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, just the beginning part says, "You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong." So when we think about holiness, we think of better than something or someone. And when we think about God's holiness and we see it as he sees sin, we need to see that his eyes are purer than anything. And when he sees evil, it is something that he cannot look on because it is completely opposite, polar opposite of his character, his attribute, his holiness. And when we take a look at the scriptures and the fact that holiness is repeated three times, holy, 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 it also gives us a sense in which God is exalted above us in an infinite majesty. That as we take a look at him, and we consider him, he is wholly other. Listen to what it says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. It says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" Okay, again, some more rhetorical questions. Who is like the Lord among the gods? There is absolutely no one like our God. Who is like you, majestic in holiness? And that word majestic there in the Hebrew is the idea of fear, again, of having an awe or a reverence for God. Not that we're afraid of him, and maybe we should be more afraid. But the fact is that God wants us to know who he is, and he has provided a way through his son for us to overcome the very thing that we lack and what keeps us out of his presence. And that is a majestic holiness. And only Jesus Christ, God's Son, and as we think about the time of year we're at, this is very pertinent, very real to us, for us to understand that this holiness, this one who is awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders, is the very God who stepped down in his Son, Jesus Christ. He took on human flesh, walked amongst us, and fulfilled the law, doing the very thing we could not because we are in darkness. Without the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 2 says, "There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God." Okay, think about that. There is none holy like the Lord. So the Hebrew there, the word none means nothing exists. So there is nothing like God at all. And that is because of the other things we know about him, that he is self-existent. He is above all things. He has no beginning, no end. And so nothing exists like him. And therefore, when we come into his presence, we need to understand that we need to come on his terms, not our own. Because there is none besides him. There is no rock like our God. And it's interesting those phrases are brought together that when it says no rock, think about the fact that in relation to God's holiness, it is a sure foundation, that it never fails, that it is rock hard strong. It is core to who God is. And so as we think about who God is and everything that represents him in the word, that he is holy, self-existent. He is holy transcendent. He is holy eternalness. He is holy omnipotence. He is holy immutability. He is holy omniscience, holy wisdom, holy sovereignty, holy faithfulness, holy love, holy infinitude, holy immensity, holy goodness, holy justice, holy mercy, holy grace, holy omnipotent or omnipresence, holy immanence, holy perfection, holy patience, holy wrath, holy gentleness, holy kindness, holy hatred, holy jealousy, holy forgiveness, and holy truth. And when we think about all those things, and again, that list wasn't exhaustive, but it gives you an idea as we think about who God is and what he's revealed to us, that all of that is holy. It is infinitely above. It is infinitely majestic. It is infinitely separate from who we are. J.I. Packer says that the holiness of God points to the godness of God at every point. So in other words, when we consider his holiness and that in relation to all of his other attributes, it shows us that he is very much different than we are, that it points to his godness, the fact that he is God, and that he is separate and wholly other than we are. That's the extent, and in the last couple of moments, the nature of holiness in relation to ethically. The thing we need to understand in relation to it ethically is the fact that God is absolutely separate from moral evil or sin. Think about that. God is absolutely separate from moral evil or sin. See, that's what separates him from us. That's why he is light and in him is no darkness at all, because he is that pure. He is that holy. It is like we read in Job chapter 34, verse 10, "Therefore hear me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should do wrong." You know, far be it. So far be it from God to do anything contrary to his holiness. You know, it's never going to happen because his holiness defines who he is. It defines every other attribute. And we think about this, there's actually a twofold aspect, because when we think about God, you know, being separate from evil, from that which is morally evil or sinful, there is a negative aspect to it, that there is a separation from sin, which we know that God, you know, there is no sin in him, that he does not commit sin, he does not think sin, he does not act in any sinful way, because he is majestically pure. But there's also a positive aspect of that, and that is the fact that he is morally excellent and perfect. And so when we think about God's holiness, we need to realize that, yes, it shows that he is separate from sin, but it also shows that there is another whole level of how we should look at God, that he is morally excellent, he is perfect. So there is going to be no deviation from that holiness. Instead, he is going to show who he is through everything that he does. But a second thing in relation to it ethically is the fact that it reveals impurity and sinfulness. And we already took a look at this in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Remember what Isaiah said: "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah had a chance to see the glory of God, and what happened? It revealed the impurity and sinfulness. And that's what happens when we come into the presence of holiness, is that it reveals, it brings the light into the darkness to show that we are not qualified to be in God's presence, because we are completely different, short of faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, to bring us into the very presence of God. Let me close with what Louis Burkhoff said in his Systematic Theology. He said, "This ethical holiness of God may be defined as that perfection of God in virtue of what he eternally wills and maintains his own moral excellence, abhors sin, and demands purity in his moral creatures." So in other words, what Burkhoff is saying is that as we take a look at this ethical part of God's holiness, is that it's the very perfection of God working out and showing that holiness worked out in what God wills in this world, as well as what he also takes a look at in relation to sin and what it does in relation to separating us from it, to the point of the only thing that God can do ethically is to demand purity of each and every one of us, because he can't have that fellowship, because he is wholly other. He is absolutely distinct from sin. So the only way that we can be in God's presence is if we are pure and holy like he is. And of course, we know the answer to that. And that's something that we're celebrating right now, is the fact that Jesus Christ can present us to the Father in holiness, in righteousness, in purity, because he is that once for all pure sacrifice. And so as we celebrate this time of year, may we remember the holiness of God. May we remember exactly what the God who is wholly other, who is distinct from us, did through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a closing word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just do again thank you for this attribute. We thank you for the way in which you continue to open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to understand just how holy you are and how precious salvation in Jesus is. Because Jesus is the one who offered himself so that we may, through faith and trust in him, receive the very thing we need, so that we can be in your presence, the one who is wholly distinct, wholly other, because you cannot compromise yourself. And so therefore you needed to provide a way to bring us to you. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is that one, your son, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we do thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, until we tune in next time as we continue on in the holiness of God, God bless you. That's it.